Many, many blessings, and welcome back to Superhero Training, The Power of Practice. So this is a live session, and I'm giving you a little warning that as you listen to this in a moment, Nick's audio is a little bit difficult to hear in some places. So you have to have a superhero hearing and tuning into powers to get it. All right, so let's get started and enjoy. Welcome, 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 everybody. Many, many, many blessings. Welcome back. So, in this session, we're talking about the power of practice. The power of practice. And this session
Yay.
is going to be life changing. Isn't that right, brother?
Oh yes, it is. It is life-changing because the power is so real. That's the wonderful thing about it. Life is so real. And the times are so real. So we're in a. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, bro. Yeah,
Oh,
you broke
right.
up
I
for a
just got a
second.
text and asking me. Yeah, it's a little bit
A little bit choppy.
wonky. So, yeah, life's so real, the power is so real, you're so real, the soul is so real, God is so real, or whatever you want to call it, and the situation we're in at the moment is so real, and it's only going to get more and more real. This is why it's life changing. So, I you know, without exaggerating and blowing it completely over the top. This, you know, what we're going to do today, what we're going to share today, well, hopefully what we're going to experience today, might be the most important thing, you know, well, really it is, that you can ever hear or experience in your life. Because you're getting the essence of what it's all about. And that's what you want. That's what you want. And we've just been through the last 20 or 30 years of you know, the decoration on the Christmas tree phase, where you've got you know, all the decoration on the Christmas tree in uncountable gigabytes of information coming at you through the internet. But what we're going to hopefully experience today, and definitely what we're going to be sharing with you, is the essence. And that's why it's so important. And yeah. It's a way of manifesting miracles and wonders in your life. I was just talking about that on the phone with a client just now, because we've been experiencing that. Miraculous transformations in people that are practicing what we're sharing.
So beautiful. So today we're talking about the miracles and wonders that come when you do the practice, because the number one thing is to become a higher version of yourself and reach your potential, because what else is there to do? We are here to experience. That's why we've come down into this world. And so the practice is the thing that molds our life. It's almost like, in some sense, we're a blank slate and we become what we do again and again, what we practice, what we eat, the sort of things we see, that shapes our life. So we're going to be talking about that in more detail. We're also going to be sharing with you the three most dangerous words for you on your journey to transformation. And I hear these words from people many, many times. Nick hears them as well. And you are probably going to think some of these words in your mind as we're sharing. And we'll reveal what those three words are at the end. All right. So I'm not going to tell you, and we'll tell you at the end. And you can see, have you been thinking this in your head? We're also going to be talking about how habits actually work, because we're talking about practices that create habits, and those habits then change your destiny. And if you understand how they work, then you can actually get them working for you, and you can actually change. So a lot of people, they try and create habits and they just don't get anywhere with it. We're going to talk about what makes it hard to create these new practices, why most people fail. And then we're going to talk about how you can get started with even 2 minutes a day, 2 minutes a day. So a lot of the times people make it so complicated and then they give up. So we're going to make it real, real easy. So, Brother Nick, tell us all about the difference between knowing and training, practicing.
Well, I will be very happy to, but one little thing, just picking up on that 2 minutes, what you just said, why should anyone do anything for 2 minutes and it actually transforms life? Well, that's a reflection on just how freaking powerful it is, how powerful the presence of life is, and how powerful you are as a soul. And when you connect correctly, it's, a couple of minutes is, it's absolutely life transforming, and that's the best deal in town. And I was just laughing with this client of mine, because she's like, oh my God, it's so simple, we make it so hard, we make everything so hard. And it's true. And this training versus knowing thing, doing the work versus having some intellectual understanding about stuff. Well, this is, what I was talking about. We just come through this, the technological age was the information highway, the internet, and, we're all going to be enlightened and illuminated with all this information that we're getting, more and more freedom, rah, rah, rah. And of course, everyone's just completely overwhelmed by the amount of information that you're going to be getting, that you get being getting. So thank God we've got over that bit, because that was a, there's just a period of huge amounts of delusion and luciferic false light. Lucifer is the false light. And Lucifer loves when you've got loads of ideas. Lucifer is the mental master. Loves loads of books in the library, loves lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of knowledge about this and about that, so we can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk about it all, and have debates about it and arguments about it, and maybe some wars about it. Loves that shit. But what we're into, and the age that we're moving into now, it's this, this necessity to embody the essence of what we've boiled it down to. This is the thing. So there's nothing wrong with doing lots of research and reading and study and investigating all these, the myriad different ways of arriving at the same place. There's nothing wrong with any of that, as long as you get to the bloody point. And that's what thankfully is being called forth now, this distillation of the essence and the embodiment of that through practice. What is practice? Practice is just repetition of a way of being that you're normally not in. Your ego is not normally in this way of being. So we need to practice it, which means repeat, repetition of a very simple way of being. It's just a way you orient your focus and the alchemy of your awareness and your feelings. And then suddenly, our divine natural awareness, our DNA, with this 99% or 98% junk DNA, identified by scientists as having no known function, well, the rest of that stuff gets turned on. It gets turned on. And as it does, you become a supernatural version of yourself. This is the wonderful thing. This is why we call it superhero training. It's exciting. because you get to become this supernatural, superhero, angel, warrior version of yourself. This is a wonderful thing. This is almost as good as being a bank manager or a bus driver. This is the new occupation. And this can only come from a spiritually authentic place, which means a place that's so alive. It has pure, undiluted life essence in it. And when you plug your divine natural awareness into it through this essential practice or this essential alchemy of your consciousness, your feelings, your awareness, your focus, this is what happens. And we go from having wonderful theories and ideas about life into this fabulous embodiment. And of course, this is a marvelous, wonderful process which takes time, that needs to be accomplished gently and peacefully, but definitely. And as you do that, the proof is in the pudding. So if you want to become a superhero, then practice is the vehicle to get there.
There it is. So I'm sure everyone's heard these things before. Practice. Many people have their New Year's resolutions, don't they? January, did anyone have them this year? This year I'm going to do all these wonderful things. And the studies show that by around March, about 90% of those New Year's resolutions have ended. A lot of them have ended by end of January. A lot of them end in the first 2 or 3 days. So there's something going on there, isn't it? One is the idea to change, to practice, to become. And the other is the follow through, long term, actually doing something again and again and again and again every day until it becomes something that's part of us. And one of the things that we, you know, this is like the essence of everything, is becoming instead of knowing about. You know, one of the things that we talk about a lot in superior training is this consciousness that I am a spiritual being, a being of light. I can't even say that without laughing anymore, because it's such a profound shift in consciousness that when we realize we are immortal, and eternal. And if someone says, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, I believe that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's the next thing? Where's the next thing? Yeah, I know that. What's next? Yeah, I read a book that said that. Yeah, I saw a video about that. And then they're on to the next thing. And then they want to know the next thing, 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 the next thing. Check, 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 check. Scroll, scroll, scroll. What's next? What's next? But all along, there's not any real change happening deep in our being. And so superheroes have purposeful practice. There's two types of practice. One is where you just do repetition, which is very important. The other is when you do repetition and you're pushing your limit just a little bit beyond what you were able to do before. That's how people become masters at anything, whether they're playing the piano or it's a sport, you know, Olympics or any sort of thing, chess masters. It's you start with something, you practice, and then you push it to the edge. And you know where the edge is. If you push it too far, then that can take you out of your game. If someone's trying to do too much exercise, they can get an injury. So you don't want to go too far, but we want to push it. Otherwise, what happens is people just repeat, 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 and they stay at the same level that they were at before. A lot of people, for example, might play the guitar. They can play the guitar, they play the guitar, and they're basically the same now as they were 20 years ago, because the practice hasn't been pushed. So what we want to do is is keep moving in that direction, just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And we're going to be sharing as we go through the program more and more hardcore practices. But it's got to start with the consciousness of practice, practice, practice. The word practice makes perfect. And I remember hearing that expression, practice makes perfect. You know, I think my mother probably said that to me when I was a child. And it sounds a bit cheesy, a bit corny, but it's actually a true statement. You know, it's a profound statement of truth that when we practice, it leads to perfection, it leads to transformation. So what stops us doing it? This is the thing. Everyone knows about it. We've all heard about it. I'm sure everyone here has thought about doing something in the past. Think about something that you've wanted to do. When we saw the intentions that came in for the Superhero training, one of the things I noticed was that many of the people, and I really appreciate all the intentions, by the way, many people said stuff that they might have said previously. It's the same sort of things. What stopped those things happening from the idea then to now? What happened in the meantime? Something happened that it meant that it didn't occur, that that vision was not brought forth into life already. So what was it? So let's just talk about that, because if we don't understand what's stopping us, then we're going to get knocked out of the game. So what is it that makes it hard to actually move forward? And we're going to share these things, and you can listen carefully and see if any of it applies to you. And if it does, if it does apply to you, don't feel bad about it. It's very important that if you recognize something has been holding you back and you've done something that's not helping you, don't beat yourself up. Don't think you're a bad person. Just say, yeah, I've put my hand in the air. I admit that. Now I can move beyond it. Because bringing consciousness to something is a huge success. The ego thrives in darkness. It wants to deny and live in illusions. When we say, you know what, I've done this stuff, I've been held back, I've got these various things going on in my life, when we admit it, then we can move beyond it. So this is actually a huge celebration if any of these things apply to you.
Yeah, and also this kind of struggle that we have with being consistent or aligning our highest vision of ourselves with our actions, this struggle, this is what develops character and strength and integrity in the soul. And you're being tested, you're being examined by life all of the time, and some of the patterns that you're stuck in, you might have been stuck in them for lifetimes, who knows? And also the world, the negative forces in the world, because there's negative forces and there's invisible positive forces. Negative forces are there to provide resistance and challenge and obstacles and all kinds of temptations and goodness knows what else for you, and they do a very, 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 very good job of doing that. And if you keep dropping off your practice or whatever it is, and you determine this time to not to do that, and just one of the things is especially if there's any addiction patterns, the ego can get a hold of that and plug into self-loathing very quickly. And self-loathing, lack of self-love, is going to manifest as lack of self-respect. And if you don't have respect for yourself, then you're going to, be resentful of other people and judgmental bitter, and none of this is good. But the forces that are working against you are appropriate to the power of your soul, and because the soul is basically a manifestation of of God or a child of God or whatever you want to call it. It's this very powerful thing. You know, the forces that are testing the integrity of the soul are equally powerful, or, you know, a little less powerful, but they're very, very, very powerful. So there's a good reason, you know, there's a tremendous amount against us, and there needs to be, because we are in, you know, this hero's journey element of the spiritual journey is this, you know, against all odds victory, you know, the forgiveness of the impossible thing to forgive, and the healing of the, you know, the deepest wounds. You know, these are all gigantic forces we're talking about here. We're not talking about little things. So your ego wants you always to shrink into this little victim consciousness and make up all these excuses and blame other people or hate yourself because you can't do what you're setting out to do. Make sure that you're putting things into the correct context and honoring the magnitude of the forces that are working against you. So that being said, there's also, you know, some very basic earth level stuff that we need to be looking at if we want to be successful with our practice. And one of those is, you know, making sure that you are in the correct environment. Because if you're in the wrong environment, you know, for example, you know, like say for example, if you're out of control eating chocolate and your house is full of chocolate, you know, you're asking for trouble if you've been repeating an addiction pattern for the last, you know, X number of years, or alcohol, or whatever it is. So you need to be in a healthy, supportive environment, and you need to take the initiative to create that environment for yourself.
That's right. And we're going to be sharing, you know, exactly, I just mentioned briefly, we're going to share exactly how to do that in superhero training, how to set up your environment, because it actually has a profound effect. A lot of people who appear to have a lot of self-discipline, they seem to have self-discipline. What really is going on is they just have a wonderfully supportive environment. It's not actually about self-discipline. They've just put themselves in the right situation so that all the good things that they want to do happen extremely easily and effortlessly, and they put massive amounts of friction between themselves and all the bad stuff that would ruin their life. A huge friction. So what we need to do in essence is shift it around so we find it really hard to waste our time and really easy to have a wonderful, beautiful, powerful life and to do the practices easily. Because if we don't, it's basically a lost battle before we've even started. So just think about it, you know, is your environment currently set up so that it's extremely easy for you to do all the good stuff you want to do and extremely hard for you to get tempted into other stuff?
Wonderful. And then, of course, you need, you know, some leverage, some motivation, some inspiration, a reason, a purpose, you know, to do it. Why do you want to do it? You know, what's your reason? And it needs to be a really solid reason. So we're going to be exploring that and fleshing that out, the real powerful why we need to pursue this way of being.
That's right. It's worth just thinking about now. Why do you want to change? What do you want to change, and why does it matter to you deep in your heart? And another thing is bad company. Bad company, there's an expression in India, bad company drowns you and good company takes your boat across. And this is an undeniable fact of life. It says in the Dharmapada, one of my favorite books, that if you can't have the company of the wise, it's best to travel alone because you're going to be sucked down into things. Of course, we have to do service. There's lots of people we need help, and that's a different matter. But the people that you connect with, are they supporting you? Are they inspiring you? Are they, rooting you on for your success in life? Or are they on a different path and pulling you in different directions? Because it's very difficult to not bow to peer pressure. Very, very difficult, almost impossible. And you might think, oh, I'm not being affected, I'm not being affected. Give it enough time and something will happen, guaranteed. Bad company is actually one of the main. This is why so many people, we never say this directly, and we would never say this directly, but it's shocking to me how many people come on this program or other programs or other different programs that they've done, changing spiritual change programs, and what happens? They get divorced. How many times has that happened? It's again and again and again. I hear the amount of divorces I've heard of over the years. We've never told anyone, by the way, to get a divorce. They just decide that that's what they want to do because they recognize that the person they're living with is on a completely different path from them. And they always feel better afterwards, you know? So, and it's not just, of course, marriage and close relationships. It's also various other people we connect with. So we have to be extremely careful about this. If you want to be a superhero and you want to go to the next level in your practice, then check out your company. If someone wants to lose weight, for example, they want to get strong. If they hang out with people who do lots of exercise, then all of a sudden, bing, they'd start doing exercise every day. If they're hanging around with people who are chowing back on massive amounts of processed foods day and night, then it's probably not going to happen at all. And if it does, it'll only last for about a week. So this is something just to consider. Who are the people in your life? And what effect are they having on you?
And also another really powerful thing is people doing the wrong kind of practice. I see this a lot. Because we've been through this information deluge, and there's been this huge number of teachers and goodness knows what else popping up because they've read this and that, or they've been to this, they've done this online training, or they've been to this workshop or this retreat, and whatever, and now they're an authority of propagating bullshit. We really need to be extremely about what we're pointing our time and energy into, if we're calling it, effective spiritual practice, and look at how it's, you should really feel instant benefits. Like, I started working with a lady last week. She signed up with me for, I think she's doing 6 weeks. She signed up for like 6 weeks. So I did my first week with her last week. I had an on-call, and I spoke for a little about or something, and I gave her one simple exercise to do. Only one. Very, very simple. She could do it standing, or she could even do it walking if she wants to. She could do it sitting, she could do it lying. Very, very simple. Just a simple movement of her hand. That's all it was, but with the secret inside. I told her what it was, and I said, that's all I want you to do this week. That's the only thing. Just use that. And I called her today, or she called me, and we spoke for about 45 minutes before I went for this call. And I said, I asked her to journal today and tell me what was going on for her. So she read me her journal. And it was just amazing. She noticed what she noticed on the first day, what she noticed on the second day, what she noticed on the third day, and so on and so forth. It was just amazing. And it was so, so, so simple. I just gave her the absolute essence, and she was evolved to take it and diligent enough to practice it. And she immediately first the benefits, hopefully, and then the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Not just in her own and in the way she show up for people and her own but also in the way that people were coming towards her. And she gave me this beautiful, beautiful testimonials of the power and legitimacy of what we're talking about right now. So this is what we would call effective, accurate, correct practice, the essence, as opposed to bullshit and blah, 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 decoration on the Christmas tree stuff. So I like that about life. You know, the emperor's new clothes, just like being really honest. Is this actually transforming my life, or is it not?
Yeah. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, I mean, I've been surprised over the years how many clients I've had who what their main problem is actually is a practice that is hurting them, and they just stop doing it and not even adding a new one, just stopping an old one, and they immediately feel better. You know, it's shocking how many bad practices there are. The technology is a classic example of this. You know, is the practice of going on social media every day for 4 hours a day and checking text messages constantly, is that a beneficial practice? Well, technology companies seem to think it is, and they very much encourage it. But we have to think for ourselves about everything we're doing. Is it working? Is it helping us feel more joy? Or is it actually just adding clutter, bullshit, like Nick said? Most of it is bullshit. My attitude is that just about everything is bullshit, unless proven otherwise. Because there's far too many things around, you know. So another thing just to be aware of that can hold us back from making changes is trying to do too many things at the same time. Too many practices. What normally happens is people go on a retreat or they have some sort of breakthrough and they go, yay, yes, I'm going to do it this time. And they get so excited about it and they say, I'm going to wake up at, you know, this time in the morning, and then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to add all these 12 practices and I'm just going to really go for it. And of course, we applaud the enthusiasm. It's a wonderful thing. But come, you know, a few days, 6 days, 7 days, 8 days, 9 days, and the whole thing comes crashing down, the addictions come running back in, and it all just gets crushed. Because there's too much change at one time. We can't psychologically handle too many things. There's a limit. Each one of us has a slightly different limit. But we can't just change everything at once, because the brain is wired. The neural pathways are wired together. And when you try and change loads of things at the same time, it actually causes, I wouldn't call it brain damage, but it's sort of almost brain damage, because the brain is freaking out, going, hang on a minute, we've been doing this thing over and over and over again for years and years and years, and now you want me to do this completely different thing, and this other different thing, and this other different thing. So it basically just doesn't work, and I'm sure everyone who has tried this, I actually have tried this again and again and again and again and failed miserably, so I've had to learn my lesson humbly. So if you think about the difference between trying to change hundreds of things at once, and like what Nick just said with his client, gave one exercise, simple exercise, and it was done consistently with dedication, with love, and miracles happen, miracles. So when we go through the program, as we're going to be sharing more practices with you, but we don't want you to try and do everything at once. We want you to do it very gently, very lovingly, very slowly. Allow it to settle. Allow it to become part of your being, part of your lifestyle. And then you can add another one. So that's how we do it in superhero training.
Yeah. It happens out. So you get the most powerful thing for us. And, yeah, and also, you know, if you don't, you know, we talked about the chart and a lot of if you're on that. I like to write down, you know, just my perfect day, the things I want to do in my perfect day. I was just reading it today, I think, and I'm doing all those things. I'm doing all those things, and it's just a little way of just keeping yourself accountable, looking to see if you've actually taken the time to write down the ideal day or the ideal ingredients in a day that you want to experience, and are you doing them? How many of them? If you've got 20 things on your ideal day chart, and you're only doing one, but if you've got 20 things on and you're doing all 20, then you're in the flow. You're on.
That's right. So ideally you want to have a lot of great things you're doing every day. The more the merrier. But we start off slowly and keep adding to them. I think there's about, I would say, at least 10 or 12 things I do every day now, and I feel fantastic because they make a huge difference, one at a time, you know, one practice at a time. But start slowly, and then of course keep in a chart, like Nick said. You need to know, did you do it or not? Because we can easily forget our wonderful ideas, inspirations. You just forget that you even had the thought, and then you come maybe a year later, you go, oh, I was going to do that thing. So we'll share about the chart more later on, and we'll create a chart for you, and we're going to help you to do it. Because remember, superhero training is called superhero training. The training thing is doing the practices again and again every day, and we're going to share what they are. People on the webcast are asking, what are the practices, what are they, and we're going to share them with you. So, but first of all, we need to understand the power of practice and actually be dedicated to even thinking in this way and then doing these things. And then afterwards, everything becomes super easy. So, they're the main things to be aware of that hold us back. And of course, you know, we have the subconscious mind, which whatever we've done again and again and again, that keeps coming up, keeps pushing us around, and we need to be aware of that. There's a lot of other things, but these are the main ones. So once you're aware of them, then they're not unconscious anymore. So let's talk about the things to make it easy. We love things being easy. Ease and grace, ease and joy. That's how we like to do it. So here's four steps to a powerful, long-lasting practice. And you can use these four steps for any practice. And we're going to be going through this again and again and again with different practices. So this is the secret to creating things that stick with you so that they become easy to do after a while. Now, first thing to be aware of is that, I can't remember who said this, this is a quote from somebody, said that it's easier to do something 100% of the time than it is to do it 99% of the time. And the reason for that is because if you have to think about whether or not you should do it, then that takes effort. You have to make a choice. And also, you might say, well, I'm not going to bother doing it today because I'm busy, or because I'm tired, or because of something happens. And then you don't do it, and then it's gone. So 100% of the time is the aim here. Or whatever practices are worth doing, they're worth doing every single day. That's how I look at it. If it's worth doing at all, then do it every single day. So there are four steps that are involved in any habit. And you can look at your own life and you see that this is already happening every day anyway by itself, at least the first three steps. So I'll just go through them and then we can elaborate on these a little bit more. So the first one is the trigger. First thing is the trigger. Something triggers us. The trigger can be almost anything. Often it's an internal trigger. So you, for example, you might feel hungry, that's a trigger. And you go, ooh, I'm going to go and get something to eat, and off you go. You know, so the trigger affects our actions. Oftentimes, people might get a text message or something from someone. The noise is a trigger. Technology companies are geniuses at triggers, by the way. So they trigger it. And you go, ooh, what is it? Who is it? Who is it? And you go and check it. And then it has an action. They might say, go and do this, or you respond back to them, right? So the trigger is always the first part of it. Other times the trigger might be an alarm clock going off, or it might be someone knocking on the door. So every action, every behavior starts with the trigger. The next thing is the starter action. The starter action, what does that mean? Let's give an example of doing hatha yoga. Yeah, yoga. I do the five Tibetans. I'm a big fan of those, the five rites. And so I have a yoga mat right here on the floor, and it's already there. So some people, they have their yoga mat rolled up. So the starter action might be that they unroll their mat and put it on the floor, so that otherwise they're not going to be able to do yoga if they like using a mat. So you unroll it, that's the starter action. The third thing is the action itself, which would be, you know, doing your yoga practices or whatever practices you do on the mat. And then the fourth thing is something that we would encourage you to do, which is a celebration of some kind, some sort of celebration. Give yourself blessings, give yourself love. Now, when we talk about celebrations, we're not talking about having like a huge pizza to yourself, you know, pizza and a few beers. You know, I did my yoga, now it's back to the pizza and wine. That's not the sort of celebration that's going to help very much. But you can think about, what can you do after you have done this new habit that will make you feel good? Often just you feel so good anyway, you don't need to do anything, but you can just give yourself blessings. You can just say thank you to God, thank you to yourself, thank you to life. Or it might be that you just lie down and give thanks, or it could be you read something. So you can, everyone has something that they would like to do. So the four steps, the trigger. And you can design the trigger. The trigger might be your alarm clock goes off. It might be actually another action. The trigger might be something like, I've stopped drinking coffee recently, but I've got this ridiculous, fancy, expensive espresso machine. It's a bit over the top. So I was having loads of espressos, and what I did is I'd click the espresso machine on, and it takes about 10-15 minutes to warm up. Then I'd go and do my practice while it was getting warm, and then I would celebrate with my espresso once it was done, right? So the trigger was clicking the button. The starter action would be like rolling out the mat or getting ready to do the practice. Then I'd do the practice, and then I would celebrate. So the trigger can be another action. It can be something else. It could be that when you wake up in the morning, first thing you do is, you know, you might go to the bathroom, like, you know, freshen up. Then you do your meditation. Then once you've done the meditation, then you add a new practice afterwards. So the trigger can be another action. We'll get into this in a bit more detail later on, but I'm just giving you a sense that the trigger can be either something like an alarm clock going off, or it can be something that you already do. So like if you're going to eat, have some food, you're already eating anyway. Before you eat, when you're sitting there in front of your food, you can give thanks and praise, and send good vibes to your food. So the trigger is the food being in front of you. And while you're sitting there, then you give thanks and praise, and then you celebrate by eating your food. So when you do it this way, you have a trigger, the starter action. The starter action is getting things ready. Then you have the action, then you have the celebration. So these are the four steps. And in Superhero Training, we want you to do things every day. And sometimes you might not have the time, or you might have resistance, or you might have tiredness, or whatever it is, right? Stuff comes up to everyone. So if you have something happening that is causing distress and making it hard for you to do your practices, then you can chop it down and you can just do a 2-minute version of it. 2-minute version. So like you might have, say you want to do half an hour meditation, which is great. But one day you might be like, you know, I've got to get on a train or something and I actually haven't got the time, literally. So I have to leave. So you sit down for 2 minutes and then you still did your practice. So you still have the habit and you can, of course, meditate when you're on the train. But never miss the practice. Like one of the things that I do every day is I have a juice, fresh juice. I have a couple of juices a day, 2 or 3. And, you know, I like a big juice. I like to make as much as I can. Sometimes we might have run out of ingredients or nearly run out. So I have to have like a simpler version of the juice or maybe a lemon juice with cayenne pepper or something else. But I'll always do something like that, you know. And if I feel like I'm tired and I don't want to do my yoga practice, then I'll just do a 2-minute version of it. And then I'm in the zone. I'm not just going to give up because I can't be bothered. So these are the 4 steps, the trigger, and we can design triggers. We'll talk more about this later. How do you design triggers so that in your day you get triggered to remember, okay, now I need to do my practice. Then you have your starter action, which is like rolling out the yoga mat, or, you know, if people wanted to, let's say they want to floss their teeth, you know, this is something that a basic thing. A lot of people, they want to start flossing their teeth. The starter action would be just pulling out a piece of floss and just having it sitting there. They're not doing anything yet, but the fact that it's there means that they're probably going to pick it up and start flossing a tooth. Then they do their flossing and then you have some sort of celebration afterwards. And the celebration makes you feel good about what you did. And you remember the celebration and then you think, well, that was fun. I want to do it again. So you create a positive feeling about your practices. So there you have it. The 4 things. You might want to write this down. Trigger, starter action, the behavior itself, and then the celebration. 1, 2, 3, 4. And in superhero training, we're going to be going through this in a bit more detail, and you're going to have different practices that you do. What you're going to end up with, just to give you an idea of what this is going to look like, you're going to end up with a absolutely remarkable life where you have back-to-back super powerful practices that bring you so much joy. Like Nick was saying just now, how many things have you got on your list, bro, on your practices? How many do you do a day?
I've got it to hand at the moment. I think there's about 10 or 12.
Perfect. See? So this is what we want you to get to, somewhere around that, you know, 10 or 12. Mine is about 10 or 12 as well. So you want to have not just like one thing you do, that's a good start. Doing one thing for 2 minutes is a huge success, by the way. So that's definitely wonderful. What we're going to end up with is many, many, many really powerful practices that you get better and better at and get more and more and more powerful as you do them, as you go through the program. So that's what you can look forward to. And it starts with just one practice. And that's it, every day. Just keep underlining this. Every single day, do not miss your practice. You want to say anything about that, bro, about the practices? Have you any other thoughts on how to make them easy?
No, I think it's pretty succinct, bro. Just it's got to be a love story. That's the way I look at it. It's it's just, there's nothing else to do. It's a way, it's just a way of being. It's who you want to be and who you be. Everything else is just a waste of time, really. And once you've got it, you the unseen into all these things that you have to do. It's a love story, right?
That's beautiful, bro. It's true. It's such a joy. It's such a joy. One of the things that I've come to realize over the years is that life is so beautiful when we do the things that we love, that bring us joy, and we live for it. You know, it's like, I love getting up in the morning. You know, I love Mondays. A lot of people are, oh, they're afraid of the Monday. I love every day. Every day's great. Mondays are great. All the days are great. The morning's great. The afternoon's great. Evening is great. And because things have been designed so that there's beautiful thing after beautiful thing after beautiful thing. It's not always possible. Sometimes crazy stuff happens. Traveling can be a bit stressful sometimes. Situations occur. But when we have all these practices, then what's happening is we're getting recharged, filled up, and then another one, and they're all a little bit different, and we start to live for the practice. One of the things that I really feel nowadays is that I'm living for the practice. Like it's not that I squeeze the practices in, like if I can. It's like life is the practice. And what I mean by that, it's not that just practicing for the sake of it, like practice, but we're doing things that lift us up again and again and again and again and again, and that's what life becomes. And all the other stuff is basically removed. And one last thing I'll mention about this is there's normally one or two things that destroy our capacity to be joyful and do our practices. There's normally something that gets, it could be a person, it could be a situation, it could be technology. And when you get rid of it or you limit it, I don't mean to get rid of people, I'm not trying to be cruel to anyone, I'm just saying whatever it is that's holding you back from living the life you want to live, when you get rid of it or you move it out of the way, then all of a sudden you got all this time, you got all this joy, you got all this energy, you got all this ability, and you do all the stuff that you want to do. It's almost like a different world opens up. For me personally, I was, you know, we have internet business and working online, talking to people on the phone and all these things. So of course, technology, we use a lot of it. What I realized is that I was overusing it. So what I do is I just take it away. We have a box and I put it in a plant pot at the very far end of the garden, and I barely ever turn the thing on anymore. So all of a sudden I can do all this stuff. I can do gardening, I can play with the flowers, I can go on a walk, I can do all my meditation, yoga, eat properly, do juices and do great work, everything all of a sudden very, very easy. But if I'm on the computer, checking this, checking that, all of a sudden I can't do my practices because I haven't got any time left. So just think about this today and this week. What is the thing that is making it difficult for you to actually do what you want to do?
That's a great way to leave it. That's it, man.
So this week, what we want you to do is to pick one practice. We're not going to actually give you a practice unless Nick feels like it. But our point of this session is not to give practices, really. It's to help you understand how to do a practice. Because once you understand how to do a practice, then you can do any practice. We've got long lists of practices. When we started this program, we wrote a list of all the most powerful practices. And you're going to learn all of them. But if you can't do them, there's no point in knowing about them. Otherwise, it's just knowing and it's not doing. So what we want you to do is just to pick one practice that you would like to do. Could be any practice. And think about the trigger. What is the trigger to help you do the practice, the thing that starts it? What is the setup? What is your starter action or your setup that makes it easy? What is the action itself? What is the practice? And then what are you going to do to celebrate? What are you going to do to celebrate? So give thanks and praise when it's done. So just think about it. What is the one practice that you'd like to do for a week? And your mission is just to do that one thing every day without fail for 1 week. A new practice, by the way, something new. Or it could also be a practice that you haven't been doing that you've already done before that you want to rekindle. So I'll leave it to you. And you can mention whether you did it or not. You know, you can have a look. You just check yourself. Did I do it or did I not do it at the end of the day? You know?
You wreck yourself.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself. So there you have it. Boom shakalak. Yeah, so it's ease and grace. And once you can do a practice for a week consistently, then you're in a position to be able to do another practice for a week and another one. And we're going to be habit stacking. We're going to be stacking habits. And we're not going to be talking about that now. We're going to talk about that later. Does anyone have any questions? I'm just going to look here because we have people live who's asking things. If anyone has a question, let us know. We have a few minutes here. We could answer your questions. Anything else, Brother Nick, you feel to share about the practice?
No, bro.
Well, there we go.
I'm feeling complete.
Complete.
Ourselves.
Exactly. Well, there we have it then, our wonderful brothers and sisters. Today's session is complete. And all you've got to think about is, what is the practice that you're going to do? Make sure you do it every day for a week. And then next week, we're going to be talking about some more things to take it to the next level. So, Brother Nick, what about finishing with one of your beautiful prayers?
Oh, I'm going to do it silently. So, and this is something I've noticed, the power of my ability to affect people with prayer is growing exponentially at the moment. I'm very happy to say, getting some remarkable results in the most beautiful way. Now, I want to invite you, if you're ready, willing, and to receive, to say, yes, I am. You don't have to text us or anything. Just say it to yourself. Yes, I am. The wonderful thing about consciousness is it transfers through the technology, which is quite remarkable. Not, I guess you wouldn't even need the technology, but it definitely transfers through the technology. So yes, I am ready and willing to receive these blessings. And I'm just going to pray. I'm going to say what I'm praying to in a little bit, and then I'm going to do it silently. So if you want to go into a little meditation after this, it's a great time to do it. So if you're ready and willing to receive, I'm going to invite you just to take a few soft, gentle deep breaths. You can bring your hands together in front of your heart, if you like, and or bring one heart onto your chest, one hand onto your chest, excuse me, your heart center, and just have a feeling that your heart is like a cup, or more accurately, a grail, and receive something beautiful in that cup. So I want you to heart with love and gratitude, and just allow yourself to receive. And I'm going to ask the almighty heavens of life, the highest power of goodness, to bless your heart with love and peace. I'm going to do that silently now.
Enjoy, 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 enjoy.
So many blessings. Thanks for your presence. And the three words, if you're wondering what they are, three words are, I know that. I know that. I know that ruins our ability to change. So what we do is we change it into, how can I become that? How can I become that? And we become that through the practice. Become that through the practice. So, thank you, thank you, thank you for each of you for your beautiful presence. We can see many of you wonderful souls here, just sending your blessings and thanks for your presence. Amy Miller mentioned it's like a superhero reunion, and it is in many ways. A lot of people have been around for a long time. So thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Enjoy your practices. Pick one thing, do it every day for a week. Get in the habit, and we're going to be stacking more and more of these powerful practices on top of each other so that you have a day that is packed with the most potent experiences. So big smiles, lots of joy, and have a beautiful, magical week. Much love and aloha.